Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Good morning. It is not common, but once in a while, when the bishop or the archbishop appears, my brother clergy get a little excited. I don't know why, they know who I am. But anyway, I'm very, very glad to be here on this weekend. I did not order this weather. I was born in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I grew up in Manchester, New Hampshire. And I'm full of arthritis because of the winters there. So thank God I'm up on a high mountain called Denver, Colorado, and there's no humidity there as much as there is in other places. But today I thank the Lord I'm here because of the name of your holy parish of St. Anna. Because when we had, let us say, problems in regard to the other two parishes a few years ago, I do not blame anyone in regard to this because, and please forgive me if you don't like what I'm going to say right now, because my mother and my father are from Greece. They came in 1919, 100 years ago, and they loved Greece and they lived near Olympia where the Olympic Games started. But when my father was teaching us various things, he taught me a lesson that I took with me into the priesthood. He said, where there are two Greeks, there are three ideas. That told me never argue with Greeks, and I never do. I just say it's interesting and continue on in what we're doing. And so in regard to today's reading, I'm jumping ahead to tomorrow's, the epistle reading, because it has to do with the Virgin Mary. We don't know enough about the Virgin Mary in regard to the role, the major role she played in bringing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world, who came as both God and man. And the hymns say, the theology says that God united eternity with humanity and made them both one without any clash whatsoever. And we see this in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah, more than any other of the books. Our friends, for example, our Protestant friends, they don't even mention the Virgin Mary as if she never existed. And our sisters of the Roman Catholic Church, they say she was married to Joseph, which is not true, according to the prophet Isaiah. Because in tomorrow's epistle, St. Paul brings the words of Isaiah into the epistle reading, which is to the people of Ephesus, the Ephesians. And in order for me to not make a mistake, he quotes Isaiah in Ephesians, and he says, behold, O barren one, who does not bear. speak with force. And shout. You who are not in travail. For the despondent or the despair one has more children than she who has a husband. Here Isaiah says, a barren woman cannot bear children. And he says the barren woman should shout because you are not in travail. What's travail? You're not pregnant with any children. For you have more children already than the woman who has a husband. There's only one person whom St. Paul recalls in tomorrow's epistle reading. Who was barren? The Virgin Mary. Who did not have travailing experiences, being pregnant and having the feelings of pregnancy? The Virgin Mary. She never had any children. Our Protestant friends said that she did. Sons and daughters. And then, oh, desolate one, you have more children than they who are married. This describes the Virgin Mary very clearly. Why? Because we are not medical experts, but the Virgin Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, were over 80 years of age, and Joachim always believed that they would have at least one child. Because in the Jewish tradition, if married people did not have children, it meant that God either ignored them or cursed them. And so Joachim was stronger in his faith than Abraham. We know about Abraham and Sarah. They wanted to have a child. And Sarah figured that they could never have children. They were over 80 years of age also. And Sarah says, take one of my servants and have a child with her. And he did. That was unlawful and immoral, but he did. And one of the servants gave forth and brought a child, Ishmael, into existence. And then later on, of course, Isaac was born from Abraham and Sarah. And there was friction between the two, Isaac and Ishmael. And of course, the mother of Ishmael and Ishmael were separated from Abraham's family. But Joachim had more faith, and he waited patiently, and the Virgin Mary was born. Now, I'm not a medical expert, but it could be. I'm just saying it could be, my average human knowledge, that maybe if a child, a daughter, were born to parents past the age of 80, maybe something, if it was a girl, if it were a girl, they wouldn't be able to have children, even they wanted to, because of the lateness of the birth. I'm just guessing, please. But the thing is that here, there's no question about it, that Isaiah is talking about the Virgin Mary, because in another place, he says very clearly, the woman who was barren gave birth to a male child, and she did not have the pains of childbearing. That's only the Virgin Mary who gave birth to Christ and Christ was not of her blood, flesh and blood. Because Isaiah again in another place says, the Holy Spirit put the seed in the womb of that woman. And what came forth was a male child. So all these hints, our friends from other Christian denominations have not realized. Those of us who know the original Greek language, because even the Jewish people translated the Old Testament, as we call it, from the Hebrew into Greek 200 years before Christ in Alexandria. And then, of course, the New Testament was written in the Koine Greek, as it is called. And unfortunately, it's, let's call it accidental, when the printing press was discovered or created in the late 1500s, early 1600s, there were no books in existence nowhere in the world. Everything was handwritten. And so when Isaiah, or I should say, when Paul, St. Paul, read all these things in Isaiah's book, it was handwritten. It was not in print at the time of Paul. There was no printing at the time of St. Paul. It came 1,500 years later. And unfortunately, because of the mistakes in the English translations, we have as many denominations, 30,000 denominations with our Protestant friends. It's not their fault because of the mistranslations of those who thought that they knew the Greek language. But I bring this out today as we are closing in on the major feast day of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was born, according to Isaiah, by a woman who had no relations with anyone. She had no feelings of childbirth, and she brought forth a male child. It's all in there, but as our Lord said when he came into the world, the time of the didactic period, the Old Testament period, where everything was explained to you, rules and regulations, yeses and noes, that's gone. Because when Christ came, we have two things. We have faith and we have free will. Intellect from God and free will. We decide if we want to follow the Christian faith or not. And I do tell people, and I may have said it here in the past, I do not proselytize. By that I mean I do not try to convince people to become Orthodox Christians, because I'm interfering with God's gift to them, which is intellect and free will. I have no business interfering with a person's free will. They have to decide themselves if they want to accept or reject anything. If someone asks a question about a particular thing in religion and wants the answer, very gladly I will offer the answer, but that's all. Because intellect and free will are God's gift to us. And after intellect and free will came in, I don't say it, St. Paul says it, we have no need of rules and regulations. We exercise our faith according to our intelligence, whether we accept one thing or another. Unfortunately, we are living in a society today that doesn't think this way. They automatically condemn what they don't accept without even questioning whether whatever they condemn is right or wrong, true or false. And so we are blessed today because I came to honor the mother, and you have the beautiful relic of Saint Anna in your presence, and I'm very glad that during the time of the Crusades, you know, most of the Crusaders that went into the Holy Land to chase out the Muslims were from the Church of Rome, the Roman Catholic Church. But when they went there, they took back souvenirs. They took back a lot of relics of Orthodox let me say, Orthodox saints in the Holy Land and in Asia Minor. As a matter of fact, this past Friday, we celebrated St. Nicholas, one of the major saints in the church. He was at the First Ecumenical Council in 325. And I saw his complete relic when I went to Bari, Italy, because the Crusaders had it there, and Bari, Italy wanted to be known as the shrine of St. Nicholas. But recently I was informed that the Roman Catholic Church gave a portion of the relic to the Orthodox Church. So we're having good relations in this exchange, because when we talk about relics, we talk about a human body that was very active in making God real, the one and only true God, real in this existence. We are living at a time now that many, many things are taking place. For example, and I'll just say it as a statement, I'm not going to go into details, but as a statement, our Lord says when he was tempted by the Sadducees, who didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, they said, if this woman married this man and didn't have a child, and she should have had a child, she was supposed to marry his brother to have a child with his brother. And the law said that if he didn't have a child, she was supposed to marry the other brother. And they went up to seven brothers. It's in the New Testament. I'm not making it up. And then they say to the Lord, in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And the Lord answered correctly, you don't know what you're talking about, because in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Marriage is a reality of the lower world. They're going to be like the angels. The angels have no gender. We use the masculine gender, but angels have no gender whatsoever. If angels had genders, and one-third of the angels went against God with the former Lucifer, Satan, and if they could procreate with humanity, we'd have a lot of demons on this planet. But they are genderless. And in perfection, this is our Creator God says, we don't need genders, because everyone is going to be a distinct creature, an icon, a perfect icon of our Lord and our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so this is the theology that people do not know. And it is a wonderful thing. And I'm so happy that Father Anthony mentioned to me that when you receive the relic of St. Anna, you collectively found a piece of property that is one of the best properties I've ever seen. I've gone there. You have a wonderful future in this part of the country. And so never, ever doubt what has come down to us for the last 2,000 years. There was no printing in the Greek Orthodox Church even up to 100 years ago. It was all handwritten. But the teachings have never, never changed. If we had used the translations, probably we would have also gone in different directions. I'll give you one example, and I'll end here, because I don't want my brother priest to get too restful in there. The Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. No, God does not lead us into temptation. Satan leads us into temptation. The original Greek is allow us not to enter. In other words, allow us not to use our free will to go in the wrong direction. That's the way the translation should have been. And so I repeat myself, I thank the Lord that I was able to come here to this wonderful family of Orthodox Christians, because you are, and many other parishes in this metropolis are, fulfilling the words of Joel the prophet. If you read the book of Acts, Luke wrote the book of Acts as he wrote his gospel. He said, in the last days, quoting the prophet Joel, in the last days, the Holy Spirit will be very prevalent. And the Holy Spirit will be effectual with the young and with the old. And it's happening. It's happening. And I'll end there. I thank you for your patience. Continue, please, to use your intellect and free will, and know that the Orthodox Christian faith has never changed. We have been separated, Russians, Bulgarians, Serbians, Antiochians, Greeks, and then when we come together, we have the same beliefs, which means that even though we did not use the printing press, all those different cultures have the same teachings of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And may our Lord and Savior continue to bless all of you and the Holy Mother Anna, who, there's no question about it, brought into the world, as the prophet Isaiah said, the source of our salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. He humbled himself, made himself one of us, and bought body and soul and body of human beings and soul together with divinity, so that he is telling us when he returns in glory and the resurrection of all people will come together, we will enter, those who accept him and believe him, we will enter into the eternal kingdom in perfect harmony with our Creator, who will live on the same level as he's placing us in the divine realm. May all of us be heirs of that coming kingdom. Amen.